Welcome to Cultural Fugazi, an optimistic take on the culture of the end times. I'm Chris, and I'm joined today with...
Hi, I'm Justice.
So, our topic today is the movie Contact.
Yes, and our thesis statement for today is going to be a little complicated. So, let me see if I can find the right words here. Contact's conversation between science and religion is something that I did not find super compelling in the year of our Lord 2023, and Chris did. So today's episode, we are going to try to figure out why.
What does that mean?
So we're going to be talking about the movie Contact. If you have not seen Contact, it is a adaptation of a book written by Carl Sagan.
Yeah, it's a 1997 Robert Zemeckis film.
Yep. And it has a lot going on with the end of the 1990s. I wrote down a couple things, and I want to get them out of the way. No, we'll save them for the lightning round. we'll get there.
All right.
Contact is a movie that whenever I was watching it, I felt very strange watching it at 1080p on a television at home on a flat screen OLED panel.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is not how Contact is meant to be watched.
No, they like you to have some crackly bits in there.
Yeah, Contact is supposed to be watched on a VHS tape or on broadcast cable television on a CRT TV. Right, that is the intended outlook of what this movie is supposed to look like, at least in my head. That's whenever I see that movie, I go, this should be yay big. It should be a square. The fact that I can see everything else in that front that's supposed to be a square, you know, it should be parts of this screen have been cut off to fit your TV experience at home. Yada yada yada. I've seen this movie at least a couple times.
As have I. Yeah. I watched it a bunch when I was younger. I have not watched it super recently, so this was revisiting it again after a bit of a hiatus. But I watched it a lot when I was younger.
Yeah, this would seem like a young Chris movie.
Yeah, I mean, cards on the table. I am a huge Carl Sagan fan, which I'm sure will shock absolutely no one at all. Certainly, if you know me, even if you don't know me and you've listened to any of these podcast episodes, I'm sure I give off strong Carl Sagan fan vibes. I bet. That would be my guess.
Yeah. You look like a Carl Sagan fan.
Yeah.
You can see it in your blood.
Hey, we both really like turtlenecks. They're good.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I read Contact as a kid. I also... Cosmos, was very big into Cosmos. I read a bunch of his books as a kid, probably too young to really understand what was going, but, you know, the Dragons of Eden, like, just, if it was Sagan, like, adjacent, I was probably aware of it and probably had consumed it in some form or fashion.
Yeah, and as a young science fiction fan, I was not doing Sagan. I was doing Arthur C. Clarke. It was like one of my first science fiction books that I read seriously. And then like the Clarke path is the one that I walked. So things like Childhood's End, 2001 Space Odyssey, Rendezvous with Rama, like all that stuff is kind of where I started my path. And then Sagan never came into it. Mm. Until I watched Contact. That was my first exposure. Like, I'd seen Sagan things. I was not a huge fan. I think I was too young. I will say this is one of those things of, like, I think the age discrepancy of when some of this stuff was on and at what point in time was it getting rerun on cable television is a lot more
right.
prevalent with you and I for this specific conversation.
Yeah, that checks out.
So, you know, this movie... I believe I rented it on VHS. You know, we watched it at home when it came out. Did you go see this in a theater or did you watch this at home 1,000 times on a VHS?
I definitely watched it at home 1,000 times. I cannot remember if I was able to cajole somebody into taking me to a theater to see this. I think the answer to that is maybe yes, but we didn't have a lot of theater going money.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do you do?
We eventually like lost the movie theater that was near us. Like it was just like, saw Star Wars in it and then it was like, hey, we're done. and it's a Sears now, or it was. I don't know what the heck it is now. I'm expecting them to put electric car chargers where the movie theater used to be at some point in time.
Oh.
That's what I would expect. Anyway. So Contact is a movie that has Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Busey in there.
Yeah, we do.
As a suicide bomber. And aliens show us science bits, right? So yeah. Jodie Foster plays a woman who is obsessed as a child with shortwave radio broadcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
She has a radio tower that she works on with her dad, and you know, or not a radio tower, but they do
ham radio
yeah. stuff. So they broadcast out ham radio. Eventually she asks her dad something like, do you think we could talk to mom, implying that mom is dead,
mm-hmm.
via ham radio. And dad says something along the lines of, I don't think that's how that works. Like, you know, it's very strange on, you know, can I use the ham radio to talk to dead mom? I don't think that's not how that go.
Right.
But she continues to be obsessed with broadcast analog waves. This whole movie, man, is obsessed with analog and broadcast waves. The whole thing. The whole thing. Uh-huh. And I mean this, like, seriously.
Yeah.
There's no way to look at this movie and not think analog.
Uh-huh.
Especially the late 90s. Like, some of that stuff is going away
mm-hmm.
At the time that it is, time that it was filmed. And then eventually she becomes part of the SETI project. You might know SETI from having a computer and running SETI at home and a computer lab at your high school.
That's true. If you are not familiar, it is the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. And you could donate your computer processing power to help us try to talk to aliens.
Well, what they do is there's all these large-scale antennas, satellite dishes, and they
yes.
point them to various things in space. And you would use your computer to give them some processing power to power whatever it had recorded. Because, turns out, it's usually almost always nothing. Or it's noise. And not intelligent noise. So in the movie Contact, they find intelligent noise. They're cycling through some prime numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, the universal way people communicate is via science and math. It's how Chris and I talk all the time. Because yeah. I just say four. And Chris says, yes.
Texted a series of prime numbers again. I guess that means that we're getting drinks tonight.
Yeah. Oh, Justice is hungover. How do you know that? Because he kept saying 11. Means he's an 11 out of 10. So, Chris, you're going to have to help me here, because what we eventually get into, they discover intelligent communication. And the people that enter the room as this stuff starts to hit seem very relevant in 1998 to how you think this would go down in a way that I don't think is how it would go down today. But help me out. Kind of help me out here.
I think this does sort of get into like, how does government funding work, et cetera, et cetera. Because so part of what ends up happening is originally Ellie is working through a government grant to get this SETI time. But that grant gets cut. So she ends up getting her funding through a weird... And this is, like, I think this definitely very, like, explicitly applies to where we are at today with science. There is a weird billionaire who is just like, hey, yeah, I'll give you a bunch of money to try to look for aliens. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the weird billionaire is probably, I think, the part that's the most relevant. of the entire movie. Weird billionaire who has an airplane that never touches the ground.
Yeah, yeah. We don't get to learn that yet. That ends up, that comes in later things get weird.
Right.
But before then, so Haddon provides her with this private grant to get time at the Arecibo radio telescope array. And so when they find the signals, technically they are a privately funded group that has found these signals, but the government gets wind of it relatively quickly. And so like a bunch of scientists and a bunch of government officials show up and go, hey, this is a national security thing. Stop telling people about this. Because Ellie initially is just like, call everybody and get them to dial the frequency, because we need people on this and we need to figure out what's going on. And the government gets real cagey about that and says, no, this is just for the United States. Don't do that. She's like, no, but science is for everybody. It's for the world.
Right. The first thing that they do is they call Australia, which is the first thing I do when I find anything.
Yeah.
Is I call someone in Australia and I go, what time is it there? Because I don't know how time works. Yeah. No, she you know, does the thing that she's supposed to do, which is from a modern scientific context, right? Of, hey, confirm, right?
Yes,
this isn't just us.
But I will say, so I do think that, so she did that what the scientists would do, but I do think that the government response here is, you know, this is exactly how the government would respond.
Yep.
Like, hey, why are you telling people? Stop it.
Right.
Our enemies could get wind of this and use it against us. This Arrival deals with a very similar thing. They're, hey, don't let the Chinese know that we've got this information. It's like, do you want us to translate this or not? You do? Then we need to talk to them. So I think, at least as far as the response is concerned, that to me all plays out is at least how, because who knows, maybe there are secret agencies that would operate way differently than any of us would know, but as far as we are aware and as far as like popular culture is concerned, I think this is right in line with what you would expect.
Yeah. One of the things that eventually I had a challenging time with is, yes, you get the science, you get the science types all do the science thing. Then you get the government types all doing the government thing. And then who's the third group who shows up outside of the government conversation is all the Jesus people, right? Contact really gets you into early on, you know, we're going through her career and everything. And Matthew McConaughey shows up as a hot kind of, He's not agnostic to his religion.
No,
but
no, he's Palmer Joss. He is not he's not a priest, but he is religious.
Yes, and
so he's an advocate for theology.
Theology, yes, specifically in, you know, they are somewhere where they're at like a specific communications array, and he's there as like a missionary or something. And then, you know, lo and behold, their one night fling that doesn't turn into anything, he's the guy who shows up later when it's time to bring God into the conversation about what it means that aliens are here. That's the part that Contact spends a lot of time on. He's introduced early. He's consistently brought back in. We have to deal with religious terrorism. This is 1998. Mm-hmm. So it's a Busey who blows it up with a suicide vest, you know, instead of getting into some racist caricatures.
Yeah, which, more accurate. So,
yep.
Also, the Nazis are in this movie. So, hey, Contact. Again,
yep.
I think
you're
doing okay.
Okay. You're building an argument here. You're building an argument here. Yeah, the Nazis are there, but they're also played up comically, right?
Yeah.
The Nazis are almost there as a joke. Right.
Well, I don't think so much as a joke as much as those scenes are meant to give you some sort of quick depiction of how do we think people would respond to this information, and who do you think this would empower? And I do think that they hit the nail on the head there, where, so important context here, part of the message is that the first broadcast that the Earth has ever sent out through TV waves is what gets sent back to us, which happens to include Adolf Hitler announcing the Olympic Games. So, you know, some Nazis are pretty excited about that.
If we were doing this, if you made Contact today, and I would say this, if you made Contact today, I don't think the Nazis would look the way they look in that film. Which is, I think you would have a very modern idea of fascism, which usually doesn't look like skinheads. Usually Nazis don't look like skinheads anymore. they usually look like your aunt and uncle who went to the White House on, or the Capitol building on January 6th.
But those folks wouldn't be the ones who would be talking about how great Hitler is.
Yes.
I mean,
correct.
admittedly, those Nazis would probably be, they would have the shaved heads, but they would be wearing Brooks Brothers. So you are correct that the fashion was not accurate.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, they would look different. I'm not saying they would believe much different.
Right.
Just saying they would look different.
Yes. Yes.
That, like I said, it's hard to talk about this and not talk about other alien movies that I think are in the same vein. And I think Independence Day is a less scientific, more fun action kind of version. I can't not compare the people in Contact to the people in Independence Day holding up the, Take Me to Elvis sign, right? The 90s were very obsessed with everyone thinking, aliens, Elvis went with aliens, whatever. Like, it's very much pop culture, X-Files idea of some of these specific things. And I feel like we don't talk enough about aliens anymore. Like, I don't know. There's not much for me to, like, grab onto. You already mentioned Arrival and a couple other things.
Yes.
But I really am struggling with... I'm struggling looking at this movie and then looking at other movies, a little bit later, a little bit earlier or whatever, and thinking that this one, that it worked for me. Cause I don't know if it does.
Mm.
But anyway, so we get these guys with the signs, they're all there. That's the first time we see Abusey. He's there as a long bleached blonde haired, priest to talk through, he's there
very much a white evangelical.
Yep.
Doesn't like science.
Doesn't.
Makes it super clear.
Yep. Science bad, God good, right?
Yes. Yes.
And we already have Matthew McConaughey's character, who is science and religion can coexist.
Yes.
Right? He already has that, I'm here to expound that theology is good and less so to convert you.
Yes.
And then all of these people end up at a Senate hearing or the White House, I forget.
So once the message happens, you do end up, Ellie gets to go to the White House because she is part of the team. She's the lead on the team that discovers the signal. You have the government official who prevents her from being able to do the work through the government, Drumlin, who is also there because he is the government science advisor who is in charge of this sort of work. And then you do get, I don't remember what Rob Lowe's character, I don't remember whether he's like a senator or like a, like he strikes me
he's
as...
like a committee member. He would be...
So like my assumption is that like... His corollary today would be like a House committee member, like your GOP, very like religious right sort of, hey, I am here to represent the evangelical Catholic wing. And then you do have Palmer Joss, Matthew McConaughey's character, who is there, who we are told earlier has become the spiritual advisor to the president, which, like, Bill Clinton didn't have a spiritual advisor.
So, no, like, he did not.
And it should be noted, Bill Clinton's in this movie.
Yeah, Bill Clinton is in this via archival footage.
Absolutely.
So it's not, they did not ask Bill Clinton, like, hey, can we get some Mr. President?
Right.
Because the last,
yes,
but
Bill Clinton didn't. Now, could I see a president having a spiritual advisor? Not only could I see it, it is a thing that did happen. Just not with Bill Clinton.
Right.
So I think they use that to as a mechanism to make sure that Matthew McConaughey's character is at the table in those scenes. And I think that, that is, to me, that is some of the weaker ways in which the film is presenting its argument, because it's playing a little fast and loose with some stuff in support of it wants the character interaction more than it cares about the logistical accuracy of would those people actually be in the room? Like, some of them probably, some of them definitely not. Some of them, who could say?
That was one of those things that really is a point that Contact continues to drive home that I just can't stand beside, which is that, or I don't find super relevant, which is the spiritual leader advisor to the president. And maybe it's because of our last, maybe it's because of the way American politics work today.
Okay, but on that point, like we got all of our Supreme Court justices because of
I'm not saying that it wouldn't happen.
You're right, like that.
But it doesn't
that,
feel
that man wasn't concerned about God.
Right.
But Bill Clinton also wasn't concerned about
God. I know, but that feels very much a made for this particular story and the way this story wants to tell something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm trying to remember. Biden's Catholic?
Yes.
Yeah. So he might, like, if aliens were discovered under the Biden administration, the Catholic Church's opinion on the matter, it would probably for any president specifically, not just for Catholics, but the Catholic Church's input might have value to someone in a position of power.
We would be way more likely today to have a Palmer Joss than we would have under the last guy.
Right. I'm just saying that I don't know if I find that conversation relevant to today.
I can see where the presentation might be a little bit off-putting, but I guess the question that I would have is, what conversation do you mean? Because I don't think that the point there is supposed to be that the president has this spiritual advisor, and that's an important point to be made.
Yeah.
So
I'm kind of struggling with the whole conversation with science and religion that this movie wants to have.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm struggling, right? I just... Contact does not put that conversation in a way that I find super relevant today. With the idea of science and religion at arms with one another, especially as it pertains to aliens.
So let me slightly reframe this conversation in terms that I think the movie is actually more interested in tackling it with.
Fair.
Skepticism versus faith.
Yes.
I think that is actually the conversation that the film is interested in having, and I think that conversation is keenly relevant today. I think you have a lot of people who are very skeptical of science, and they are skeptical of science often under the guise of it being at war with things that they believe, things that they have faith in, and things that they have decided are perhaps better arbiters of the truth than science. And I think this movie is attempting to have a conversation with folks who are making those kinds of distinctions. And that is something that we are very much doing. And I mean, when you talk about the extraterrestrial bit, I think that on the one hand, there is a reason to have that conversation based on the space exploration that all of our crazy billionaires want to have right now. I think that that is worth thinking about. But I also think that in this movie, that is meant to be a proxy for having a conversation about, like, humans and their capacity for faith and their capacity for wonder and their capacity to interact with something like beyond themselves. So I think that the aliens are a MacGuffin. And I think that MacGuffin works because the content that the movie is presenting is important regardless of what that MacGuffin is. I think that there is an argument to be made that the MacGuffin of aliens is maybe not the most relevant thing that we could talk about today, but I do think that there is a way in which it is still relevant to the cultural conversation that we're having.
I hear your point.
That was a lot.
I will accept your point. And I will continue the conversation under the guise that I agree with you. Now, is it a guy? Is it a facade?
Yeah.
Is it a facade?
This feels sneaky.
I don't hate the point that you have made, because I agree with you. There's obviously multiple things where it's mostly about your faith in something, whether it is your fellow man, whether it is your God, or whether it is that the people who claim to know something actually know it with science, right? So, yes, I do think that this movie really wants to have that conversation about faith and, you know, faithlessness or you know, not having that there to support whatever the beliefs that you have, right? I don't know. When I turned Contact off, at this point in time, 3 bottles of wine deep.
That's the best time.
That's
for
the best
revelation.
Time. Yeah. And then I just immediately rolled over and fell asleep. No, I just didn't come away with that going, yes, if only people had faith in more things, right? Like, I don't know. I let's move on. Actually, before we move on, we will take a quick break and then we shall.
That's good. Good.
Yeah. We'll leave that there. We'll take a quick break and we will be right back. With more cultural fugazi. So where we left things off, we were talking about whether or not Contact, you know, what kind of points Contact was making. Let's get a little bit more back into the film.
Yes.
Because that's not the only thing that happens in Contact is the contact. They eventually make more contact. Contact movies. They talk to aliens more.
Yes.
So everyone's involved. The president's there. We bring in the Japanese to help build the thing. We put the best scientific minds to solve the problem of what the aliens were saying. That's where we get back to that radio broadcast and what was in that radio broadcast.
Yes.
We get a little bit of Americana here as well, with like a very 1998 newsreel late night talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is like, I feel weird watching this on a CRT because you spent a lot of time looking at CRTs in this film. And like even the late night broadcast, you know, you get Jay Leno, right?
Well, and this was the first time that they used actual CNN anchors in a movie to deliver news footage.
Yeah.
And that was very controversial at the time.
Yeah. So who do we have other than Geraldo to tell us that we have made contact with aliens? Cleveland's own.
Yeah.
I think he's gone now. I think they pulled him off of W2OV 1100.
I think.
So Jay Leno is on there, and Jay Leno makes, again, referencing baseball every time I can, Jay Leno makes a joke about, they saw the Olympic broadcast that came back, and he literally says, quote, or they've been listening to us and watching our broadcasts. They could have seen or heard anything. What if they're Cubs fans? And that spoke to me. 'Cause I was like, man, what if they're fucking Yankees fans? You know, like, and they're just like, oh, you know, did you see Aaron Judge break the? It's like, fuck, come on, root for a real team. Come on. So
get it together, aliens.
Yeah, you know, pick an underdog, but. We get, it's like really, it regrounds us. And yet, like you were saying, it was very, this RoboCop did it too, right? It's one of the things that I really wanted to come back to that of like, we spend time seeing how people absorb information.
Yes.
And we spend time dealing with the information that we get from the film as true, utilizing the ways that we would expect to get that information.
Yeah. How it is actually presented to people, which is like interesting because it gives you, like one level of filter, we have our main characters who are, and this was true of RoboCop too, like one level of filter, you have the truth that our main characters get. And like Ellie is very close to the source here. Like she is actually getting the signal.
She's getting the contact.
She is getting, yes, yes. So that then seeing the ways in which that gets filtered out, and I think the Jay Leno clip is a really nice example of that, because that is, Jay Leno is a way that some people do kind of get their news, and but that's not, that is a version of the events, but that's not the events per se. So like, again, you get into like this sort of like, what's real, which I think the skepticism piece of this movie is attempting to, like, not really lean into with the news on this, but like, I think that is interesting based on how we know today that news works for us.
Yes. You know, we move on from that. They build the machine.
Yeah, after some, this is where we learn that Haddon has a plane that he just flies. This crazy billionaire just flies around the world and occasionally touches down when he wants to deliver the secret alien plans to our main character.
Yeah. Let's spend a little bit of time and kind of just talk with him as a character. Let's wrap this up, because he eventually comes up later too.
Yes, he does.
Eccentric billionaires are not new, yes. Especially not new to the science fiction genre. I think one of the things that's interesting here is you have a man behind the curtain, mm-hmm. with this stuff, right? And we're led to believe he knew a lot more about what's going on, maybe, than even what you know, he's telling and informing everyone else of, right? He's not trying to, you know, he's sick, he's dying, he wants to leave a mark somewhere. He's been behind the curtain for Ellie the whole time or something, right? Like, there's that part really seems odd. And especially in a time of eccentric billionaires, he just does not seem like the type of eccentric billionaire that we see very often anymore in media.
You didn't get Bezos vibes from him?
I got a little bit of Bezos vibes. I got a little bit of Bezos vibes. But I guess I always assume, usually when we're speaking of billionaires and we're speaking of people that ultra capitalism has continued to reward,
mm-hmm.
and the ways they give back, if they give back anything at all, is he effective in giving back? Like, is his idea of, hey, I'm going to pay for this young girl to learn how radio broadcast works so that she can find aliens, so that whenever my plane touches down, I can talk to this person and give her the other alien plans and solve the puzzle and go to space. Like, is he an effective man behind the curtain? Is his arc relevant to the rest of the work too?
Well, okay, so a couple things going on there. First of all, is he good representation of billionaire?
Yeah.
I would say yes.
Okay.
And so, like, thinking about the ways that the billionaires that we have come to know and love
are billionaires.
Yeah.
They're just like us.
Yeah. I mean, I think we regularly see them do very, very strange things. They funnel their money into very, very specific pet projects that make no sense, and you look at it and go, what are you doing? I don't understand. You have so much money, you could be helping so many people, and you're doing that with your money? You've made flamethrowers? Cool.
You bought Twitter.
Cool. So, like, I think as far as, like, is it believable that this billionaire would do that? 100%.
Okay.
Like, moonshot on, like, Space Girl, who wants to talk to E.T.? Absolutely.
Got it. Yeah.
100%.
Okay.
100%. So then, is it effective for the movie? So I think that, like, for one of the things that I think the movie is attempting to engage with is the ways in which that government can get it its own way. This is not Shin Godzilla. The bureaucrats are not the heroes.
Right.
They are... One of the first things that happens when Ellie is an adult is Drumlin, the bureaucrat who is a scientist, quote, he takes the money away from her. And so you are presented with this, like, this money man who is ostensibly supposed to be a scientist but doesn't really care about science. He just cares about the bottom line. And so you are presented with the government as being ineffective at thinking big. And so because the government can't step in and fill that void, your eccentric billionaire has to step in and do it for them. And it just so happens that in this case, we did actually make contact with aliens.
Yeah. I don't hate him as a character either. Like, and also, let me be very clear. I actually really like the movie Contact. I really like this movie.
I feel like we put you in a position where you have to say that a lot.
Yeah. I really like Contact. Setting that aside, he's a believable billionaire. I'm on board with that. I believe you. He, as a billionaire, ends up in space. So already most of our modern billionaires. He's up there until he dies, mm-hmm. and it does not happen because of space. Right? He doesn't blow up. trying to get there, he ends up on a space station for an extended period of time, trying
he's
to figure out
with the Russians on Mir.
Yep, trying to figure out how it's going to impact his illness. Right. Once we get back to the building the machine, we're going to talk to aliens. What do we need to talk to aliens? We need a bunch of discs. We're going to spin them discs around while giant circle things. They're not, it's not a sphere. It had to be, rings.
This isn't
rings.
A Michael Crichton novel.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yes. So we're going to build all these rings. We're going to fly these rings past each other super fast in weird ways. And we got this pod, and we're going to shove this pod through this thing, and then that's going to let them talk to aliens. We don't know how it works. That's part of the point. The religious stuff picks back up. The bureaucrats pick back up, too, with what everyone is trying to accomplish. So the guy who's the money guy wants to take credit for everything and be the person that we send to space. And how is he the primary selected candidate? Comes down to a couple specific things on his credibility as a person, and he's honest and good, and he's never lied about anything, and also the man loves God.
Yes, they have congressional hearings for the candidates to go. Ellie is one of the candidates. Matthew McConaughey, looking very hot but very conflicted.
Yes.
He's like, Ellie, do you believe in God? And she's like, why would you ask me that? And it's like, just answer the question. And she's like, I don't think that's relevant. And everyone's like, no, everybody on Earth believes in God. You need to believe in God if we're going to send you to the aliens. Say yes or no. And she's like, I don't know that the evidence supports that. So, and they're like, that's a no. Okay, noted. And Drumlin, the money guy, he's like, man, I love God and country so much. God's my favorite. I would God all over God if I could just God some more.
Here's the icky feeling. Here's what I walk away from Contact, and I think this is what makes it really challenging for me, is that seems so much like 90s atheism, right? And I know the movie eventually has something to say about that too, right? But it seems so up its own ass about the problem of God, right? Of that, well, I'm a scientist, so of course, I have to talk about the evidence and what it is and isn't. And it sounds like a fucking Reddit post, right? That's where Reddit got it from, right?
Yes. Well, and I think that's part of the thing, though. Like, although, you know what? Say more. I want you to keep on. You have more to say. I want you to get a chance to get completely through the ways in which, because I feel like you got to the place where you're like, wait.
This is it, right? I feel like this is a Reddit post nonsense thing of why I'm really challenged with this is because the modern context for a lot of how this type of conversation is used on both sides of the religious, people who are religious talking about how atheists push their agenda, those atheists that do that sound like this, right? Hey, there's no evidence here. But also they usually do that and they're in your face about it and yada, yada, yada. And they point to arguments like this. So that was the part, I think that was specifically the point in time where it sounded too up its own ass for me to really step away from that and go, I'm happy that this was here. That's not the reaction I had. I did not say, I'm happy Contact is talking about this in the way that it is currently framed. And it eventually gets there, right? As you were saying before, Contact mm-hmm. has something to say about faith.
Yes.
And, you know, specifically her finding her, what does she have faith in?
Yes.
And how that's important to who she is as a person, right? She has faith in, you know, her father. Her father is one of the primary things that she really has a strong belief structure around, that he was a good guy, that he always had her best interests in mind.
Yes.
She has a strong faith in science and that science is the way to approach most problems, for better or for worse, right?
Yes.
There is no evidence to God, therefore there must not be one, is a very evidence-based science has my back, science is going to prove me right. And I don't know if I like the way Contact resolves that. It feels too neat and clean. Mm. And that's my struggle with it. And now we are done with that. Now we are done with that. And I can just now enjoy the movie Contact and finish our discussion on it. Because, like, I couldn't find what it was, and that's what it is.
All right.
That's exactly what it is.
So I can understand.
I'm doing, like, a lot of, also I'm doing a lot of gesturing,
yes, yes,
pointing, yes. Very active. Like,
I can tell visually that Justice has landed on the thing.
This is it.
Because of the emotions. There are many of them. Yeah, they are big.
Yeah. So sorry.
So I think that makes sense, and I think for me, part of what the movie does want to engage with is that kind of, the what can feel from the outside like a dogmatic skepticism. And I think part of what is relevant today is, I think that dogmatic skepticism has, like, it's easy to identify the new atheists who do it because they are stupidly vocal about it. But I also think you have a lot of, like, neoliberals who are doing the exact same thing, but they're doing it with policy stuff. They're even doing it with science stuff. And I think it's very, very difficult. You listen to them speak and they are like, this is the truth. And I don't understand why you wouldn't think this is the truth, because science has told us that it is so. And it fails to recognize parts of the equation that make them seem like they are, like, uncaring. It makes them seem like they're pedantic. It makes it very difficult to take them seriously. And you watch them and go, my God, you're up your own ass. Please, dear God, can you, like, actually engage in the conversation that we're trying to have? And so, like, I think the movie, I appreciate that it presents that and makes, I know that I'm much closer to that as a person than I am to the, like, religious fundamentalism. And I appreciate that the movie forces me to go, oh, God, no, don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
And it's not like that's used then,
yes,
as a, this is a positive thing, this is good,
yes,
for her character.
Yes.
No, it's very much framed as, well, shit, you could have used a better answer here. And,
yeah,
and what do you actually believe in, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And, you know, denial of something doesn't mean, you know, acceptance,
well,
of something
and
else.
The way that she says, I don't think this is a relevant question, it's,
yep,
like that specific framing where you're like, no, but to, like, billions of people, this is a relevant question. And regardless of whether you think that their beliefs are sound or valid or true, at the very least, they need you to respect that they think it's important. Otherwise, for them, why would they trust you to be their messenger? And, like, that's a lot to have to swallow.
Yes. So we've made it through that point. We're there. We've made,
you know,
it through.
I'm glad.
All
Justice,
of that.
I'm glad you,
yeah,
you were
now,
able
now
to.
Now we're done. We're
to
done with
literally
that.
Literally work it out.
Yes, we're done with that. We can move on. We eventually have the machine destroyed by religious zealots who disagree, even though we're going to send a smarmy bureaucrat scientist instead of our cool, awesome radio scientist.
But that's what you get for being a bureaucrat.
I know.
Busey
you get
blows you up.
Yeah, Busey blows you up. And end of story. It is, I believe it's Jake Busey.
Yeah.
So, yep. So we get a Busey suicide bomber, blows up the machine, eccentric billionaire shows back up. And says, in government work, you always build two, right? Like, why have one when you can charge for both?
Yeah.
And sure.
Yeah.
You know, why not? We can't do other things with government money. You know, there's a couple things that feel very 90s, right? You know, I was not as politically minded as I am now because I was a child. But, you know, modern conversations we would have today would be like, hey, we built this instead of paying for universal healthcare. We did this instead of this. What was the cost analysis of these specific things? These things sound expensive in the time frame that they were occurring. I'm not saying everything has to be like super rooted and grounded, but also like, and absolutely shit on the federal government for sure.
Yeah.
Whenever they build a second one, and also it was built by the Japanese, and also it was secret until it's not, and they need it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like write two speeches, right? You know, have a backup plan.
Yeah.
Whenever that space shuttle blows up, and then we send her to space, and then nothing happens, and then the movie's over. Well, she doesn't go to space, right? They drop the pod through the thing. Nothing happens. Yeah. End of discussion, right? That's exactly how the movie plays out.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely not 15 hours of
raw, uncut
footage.
Crackly footage, yeah. Right? No, she goes and meets the aliens. The aliens... This is another one of the scenes that I'm talking about. Like, there are two scenes specifically that I'm like, I need to be watching this on a CRT TV. And those scenes are... Anytime you see... the machine that's going to be used for space travel.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's the CG's kind of a little weird.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Or the model of it, whatever they used.
Yeah.
It kind of comes off a little odd.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actual contact with the aliens where they talk in person. That is another one of those that it looks fine when I watch it, but I'm like...
You want that?
I'm seeing too much. There's too much. My eyeballs can absorb. I need this at 480i, you know, broadcast from a cable somewhere. And it's just not the same. Because the actual scene where they have the contact.
Yes. Right?
So we contact aliens. Aliens contact us. We talk to them.
Yes.
What do we learn in any of that stuff? Right, like, what's the end result of talking to aliens? And the end result is nothing will call you again later.
I mean, the real end result is character development, Justice.
Oh, I know. I know, but as, like, for the human race, the end goal of talking to aliens is probably something, right? Someone's hoping to get information out of that conversation, whether it's to cure illness, mm-hmm. to... discover new ways to travel, to do any of this stuff. And instead, it's a very 1990s, hey, I called you on the phone. Hey, what's up? Hey, I was going to call you a little bit later. Is that cool? Yep. Okay. And then you hang up because text messaging doesn't exist.
Yeah. Also, Justice, capitalism is bad. So you know what? Maybe sometimes you just call to say hi. Maybe it doesn't have to be productive. Maybe you could just be together.
You know, I take back everything I've said. Sometimes you just like, hey, you want to hang out?
Yeah.
It's literally like, what do you do? As you said earlier, we broadcast numbers. And then it's like, hey, how do you yes. know we're going to hang out? Well, we sent all these numbers back and forth. So we're going to hang out.
I sent you a diagram for a spaceship.
Yeah. It's how to build my car.
It's so electric.
If you could build my car, then I'll show up and we'll get some beers. Except... oddly, I'm going to look like someone you know. You have a lot of attachment to. It's after that, yeah, they go back and they're like, what happened in the thing? So she's strapped into this pod in like a suit. And they're like, well, it's not on the schematic and yada, yada, yada. And that might have almost killed her. It's, you know, it's part of being in there. But also the pod is full of like, they're recording stuff to a VHS in that pod. which to me implies that somewhere there is a VHS recorder in this pod just recording shit to tape, right? Like, and it's a very much thinking about, like, hey, when we sent people onto the moon, somewhere there was shit recording to tape.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's really hard to think about that today, of like, oh, right, that's, you know, yeah, I've recorded shit onto tape multiple times, you know, but also, yeah, like, it's just not how we do things anymore. It's very strange. I think it's strange anyway. I don't know what the point that I'm trying to make is. It's just very, again, it's a movie that takes place the most in 1998 that a movie has ever taken place in 1998 before. Right? Like, we have our 98 newscasters.
Yeah.
Jay Leno's there.
Yeah. Yes. That is very,
you know,
true.
Like, it is the most 1998 movie, and it's one of the last of its kind.
Yes.
Right? Like, the last movie that treats this stuff as current to future tech.
Yes.
Post 2001. I always use that as, you know, for everything, but also very much like post 2001, post the Matrix, how we think of the future is very different, or how we think of current stuff is very different.
Yes. So. Although, and this would not be true at any of the places where she was doing work. There are plenty of scientific research stations where you're like, yeah, no, I'm still using a CRT, and we're still that COBOL mainframe. It's plugging along.
Oh, you know, Google for the longest time was still teaching people how to do COBOL because, like,
yeah,
there's business there and converting stuff.
Hey,
yep,
they're still around, and doesn't make sense to change it yet for some of them.
I mean, you're not seeing a punch card, right? Like,
yes.
I'm not saying, right, like, you're seeing a punch card somewhere, but it's
right,
just like,
but yeah, no, it, I agree. It definitely, it is a movie that, you know, is from the 90s.
Yeah. Couple last points on Contact. And then we'll wrap it up. I do have some lightning round stuff, but I want to get to closing thoughts on Contact.
Yeah. So something that I have not talked a ton about yet, we've sort of like talked about a bunch of other things. And I think part of what the ending attempts to get us to is that I think part of the movie's argument around like skepticism and faith actually has to do with, hey, what's really important? The movie wants to argue that the truth is important. The movie wants to argue that connection is important. It's called Contact, for Christ's sake. It wants to argue that connecting. There's literally a line when talking to the alien. The only thing we found that makes the emptiness bearable is each other. So, like, it wants to tell you that connection is an important part of, like, dealing with this whole, is it real? Is it whatever? And the movie wants you to reckon with awe. It wants you to understand that, frankly, both science or both faith and skepticism, they should engage with awe to some degree. Like, that is an important way for you to be able to interact with the world. And it's one of the lines that I think is probably one of the most quoted from this movie. They should have sent a poet. And that line happens because you have a scientist who is a skeptic who recognizes that there is awe here. There is something to be captured here that I don't even know necessarily makes sense to capture through the language of science. We need the language of awe. The language of awe is poetry. And like, I think that the conversation between faith and skepticism wants to make sure that you recognize that awe is part of that equation. So, all of that being said.
Yeah. I agree with you about all of that. Really, I do. When I was done with this movie, again, kind of drunk at that point in time, I did send some text messages because I was like, we just need to talk. Right? Like, everything would be better if everyone would just talk a little bit more.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah,
I sent a couple of text messages because I was emotional.
Yeah.
But
it does get you in the feels.
It does. It does. Knowing that, I think the point to summarize where we are right now, do you think today someone should go out and watch Contact right now?
I do, yes.
Yeah.
And I think that they should, in part because I think that right now we are dealing with a lot of people who are attempting to reckon with the idea of what is a responsible way to be skeptical, and what is a responsible way to have faith in something? And I don't know that a lot of people have a very good framework to think through those two ideas, and don't necessarily even have a good understanding of what those two ideas entail. And I think this movie says, hey, here's a framework. Let's talk about those ideas. Let's actually engage with those ideas, and let's see where they butt up against each other. And let's see the ways in which you might have thought that they were antagonistic, that they're actually not. And again, I think that gets back to that conversation about awe. And I think the movie wants to make sure that you can see that there are ways that you can sort of push past that, particularly when you're willing to engage with, you know, truth, when you're willing to engage with connection, when you're willing to engage with awe. Those are ways that even if the skepticism and the faith don't quite line up, those other three areas can guide you. So I think this movie is saying a bunch about that, that is, I wish more people were engaging with.
Yeah. I don't know if I think you should go watch Contact today, unless you go get a CRT TV and grab a VHS tape and watch it that way. There is some spectacle in this film. I don't think it's delivered well. Like I said, some of it doesn't hold up from the way the movie looks. I don't know if I would say watch it on a big TV. This is not a thing I would say to watch on a big TV. I think it's actually nice and tight on a smaller format. Like I do. I don't know. We'll get into the other works like this later. We didn't have to do that with some of the other things that we've done recently. Like, what other works would you watch instead of Creed? Mm. Anyway. I think there are some other stories that I think handle some of the themes here that explore it and the detail that I'm looking for. And with that specific lens, especially the one with like religion and science and alien contact and some stuff like that. There's something here. There's definitely something here. We wouldn't have watched this movie. You and I have been talking about this movie for like a month and a half. Yeah. Like, we should watch Contact. And I don't walk away from that saying like I shouldn't have watched Contact, but I think Contact falls off of my rotation of we should watch this. Like, Contact is now, I'm done. I'm good. We did it. And now I'm not going to think about it much either post this.
I think that's a good lens to think about it through, because it's now on my rotation. I'm like, yeah, oh, I'm gonna come back to this again.
Yeah. Good. Other works that we would recommend, like Contact-ish. You already mentioned The Arrival.
Yes. I saw a post somewhere, and I don't remember where, so I can't credit it, but it basically said that Contact walked so that Arrival and Interstellar could run.
Yeah, and I would say that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Arrival is dealing with slightly different emotional subject matter. Like, it doesn't really engage with the faith stuff in quite the same way, but it is very much dealing with extraterrestrial contact as a mechanism to deal with larger themes. And I think it deals with some really interesting themes that I know I love. The short story that's based on, Ted Chiang, it's from his book of short stories, which we will find the name of, the Story of Your Life and Others. This is the Story of Your Life short story. Arrival is based off of that, and that short story is phenomenal, and I would recommend that as well. I think that is just as good, if not better, than the movie Arrival. So those are definitely a couple of things that you could dig into if you liked Contact, or if we talked about Contact and you're like, I want some of that, but maybe not exactly that.
Yeah. One of the other works I would point people to is The Sparrow by Mary Doria Russell,
yes. Yeah. Space Jesuits.
Yeah. So if you really want to look at the way religion and alien contact can kind of play off of each other, right? What's it mean from a religious perspective to find out we are not alone? I think that book really does a great job of tackling that specific conversation.
Very interested in religion.
Yeah.
Again, I think this movie was about faith. That that book is about religion.
That's religion.
Yes. And it is, I agree. It's a phenomenon. Although, hey, warning.
Oh, yeah. Some
heavy, heavy, heavy content.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not a light one.
Yeah. Be ready. If that's a thing you need to look up of what you're comfortable with reading, check that one out ahead of time.
But phenomenal book.
Yep. Anything else?
Nothing leaps to mind.
Okay.
I think those are probably...
That's it. Yeah. So we'll lightning round really fast.
Yeah, let's do it.
Things. So the sports broadcast, what if they're Cubs fans? What if they're Cubs fans?
Have they kept watching? Because if so, then maybe they're fine.
I don't know. What do they think about the 2016 World Series?
Yeah.
So, I'm curious. Next up. So this all is very, like, an analog movie, right? I said that a couple times.
Yes.
It's a very analog movie. There are CRTs everywhere. Chris, I think we see exactly 3 flat screen displays.
Yeah.
Do you know where those flat screen displays were in the film?
Was one of them on the plane?
That is incorrect.
Okay.
They were all 3 in the control room.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, you don't see any flat screens anywhere except for, like, there's like 3 where it's like her footage, right? If their feed of her is
okay.
on like
some
flat screens. Yeah. I think those are like I don't think there's one on the plane because I was looking at it too. I was thinking of how heavy the plane would be because of how many TVs are on that plane. And if you've not moved around a big ass fucking CRT TV, holy shit. So denim jeans and cowboy boots are a universal trait. Do they look better on a CRT TV or do you like them in 1080p?
If Jodie Foster and or Matthew McConaughey are wearing them, it does not matter the format.
Correct. That is a correct answer. And I think that's everything I had for the lightning round. Oh, for some reason... And I don't know why I wrote down the word tits.
Was that Jodie Foster?
I don't know.
I'm not sure what to.
Do we see pornography here at any point in time in the film? Do we see tits somewhere?
So you do briefly when Matthew McConaughey and
maybe that's what it is
are
yeah
being very close in a way that is very fulfilling for the viewer and I assume them as well.
Yeah.
Yes, you do get some skin there.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I wrote it and so I figured I'd ask you if you remember why I written that down. And I think that's going to do it for this episode of Cultural Fugazi. You can tell me why I was wrong about the film Contact at us@fugazipod.com. That is us@fugazipod.com. And that will do it. Take care.